This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is 6:13 now. Lundy Graw, if you're just waking up, on Argus Facebook page, let me try to get this straight now. On Argus Facebook page, they've announced that they canceled the parade tomorrow in Jefferson Parish, and you would presume that would be all of the parades in Jefferson Parish due to weather. Now, Jefferson Parish has not said anything, but I think Cynthia Lee Sheng's supposed to have a press conference at 9 o'clock. Crew of Argus announced, Jefferson Parish has informed us they are canceling all parades on Mardi Gras Day. This decision was made out of an abundance of caution and is based on unsafe weather conditions. There's a threat of high winds with gusts up to 50 miles an hour. We are working hard on finding an alternative and or a date to reschedule the parade. So that's out of, an abundance of caution and safety. I know years ago, a long time ago, Arthur Hardy can tell us when this happened. I think it was the crew of Carrollton, and this led to people having to have safety harnesses when they rode on floats, was blown off of a float during a storm and went over an overpass and I think lingered in a coma for a long, long time. But we'll have to see what happens in Orleans Parish, because I don't know that there's any big difference in the weather between one or the other, right? So we'll find out and let you know everything you need to know as the morning progresses. Ted Rossman joins us now, Bankrate senior industry analyst, to talk about the first 40 days of President Trump's administration. How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Tell me what, first of all, how do you measure people and their pocketbook and the economy and all that? Because there's so many different factors, right?
There are. Economic data continues to be pretty good. I mean, there's some weakening in retail sales, for example. Sentiment has really been lagging. That's been a big theme, really, of the past few years. But we've seen another notable drop recently, and a lot of it seems to have to do with worries about continued higher prices and tariffs potentially making that worse. That definitely has consumers' attention.
So what has happened with, I guess, inflation or the rate of inflation in the first 40 days, anything, or can they measure it in that short of a time period?
Well, even inflation has been a bit of a mixed bag lately. The Consumer Price Index, which came out a couple weeks ago for January, so we're still very early days in the administration. I think Inauguration Day was January 20th. So, you know, early days for this term, but the CPI came in hotter than expected. But then a couple weeks later, the other big inflation gauge, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, which the Fed actually prefers for a few technical reasons, that one actually came in more positive, you know, a little bit lower. the main point here is that price growth is slowing, but the cumulative effect is significant. And that's another thing that's a little bit of a disconnect between the data that economists look at, which is, okay, inflation's doing better, versus what consumers think, which is, I wish prices would roll back to 2019 levels, right? That's what everybody wants. And unfortunately, it's not really going to happen. I mean, lower inflation just means prices are still growing. They're just growing more slowly. But the fact that they're growing on a base that's 20% higher than it was 3 or 4 years ago, you know, that's stressing household budgets.
What's going on with credit cards and fees? And what did the president say he was going to do? And did anything happen?
A lot of interesting things there. The president talked about a 10% credit card rate cap on the campaign trail, which would be pretty extraordinary. The average credit card right now charges about 20%. Many people are paying 25 or 30, sometimes even more. So to bring that down to a maximum of 10 would sound great for borrowers. The average American has $6,600 in credit card debt. The problem, the unintended consequence really, is if banks were capped at a maximum of 10%, they say it just wouldn't be profitable, and they'd have to cut back on access to credit and rewards, and they'd have to raise other fees. Now, this is still in the proposal stage, but it was introduced in the Senate a few weeks ago by Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley, and you know, that, again, is a really interesting comparison, because we have one of the most liberal senators, one of the most conservative. You know, how often do Sanders and Hawley agree? How often does Sanders and Trump agree? So there's kind of some surprising commonality here. We'll see where it goes. I honestly don't think it'll pass in this form, but it is interesting the conversations are taking place.
It's a popular thing to say, and I understand that, how that would get everybody's, get them all excited and get them happy and so forth, but to actually make it happen is something else, because if the interest rates were to be capped at 10%, nothing's free, right? So somebody's going to have to pay for it on the other end. What would that look like if that were to happen? Where is that going to get pushed?
Right. That's where, if this did happen, banks would probably raise other fees, you know, probably annual fees, late fees, foreign transaction fees, all kinds of fees. And then also access to credit could really be cut back, because especially for consumers that just wouldn't be profitable. Now, the reason why credit cards charge higher rates is it's unsecured debt. It's not like a mortgage where they can take the house if you don't pay, or a car loan where they can repossess the car. Credit card debt, really the big worry is the bank doesn't get paid back. So especially for riskier borrowers, which could be those with lower credit scores or lower incomes, they might see it harder to get a credit card. Rewards would probably dry up for all. So unintended consequences are a big deal with these sort of things. We also see it with the push to limit credit card interchange. Those are the processing fees paid by merchants, and they average about 2.2%, and it's a big funder of rewards. There's been a push for a few years now, led by Senator Durbin, to maybe not explicitly cap these fees, but do some things that would bring them down, like promoting more competition, which, again, sounds good. I mean, everybody likes competition, right? But, again, the unintended consequence is anything that sort of upends the status quo could lead banks to make big changes. So, you know, if they get on, if Visa and MasterCard get undercut by lower-cost competitors, maybe data security is not as good. Maybe rewards are not as good. Maybe access to credit's not as good. So, you know, these are all things to watch.
It's almost as simple, Ted, correct me if I'm wrong, but, and I started as an accounting major, but it's like it's going to balance out one way or the other, on one side of the sheet or the other, right? If you tinker with it here, something else is going to go over here.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
That's right. And tariffs, too. I mean, I know the president thinks that's a valuable negotiating tool for the border and the economy and other things. But as you said, somebody's going to end up holding the bag on any of these things.
Let me pick it up with tariffs when we come back, Ted, if we can. We're talking to Ted Rossman, Bankrate senior industry analyst, about President Trump's first 40 days in office and how it's affected your pocketbook. Prices have not come down. If anything, they've gone up. Eggs, we all know what's going on with that, and chickens. 620 traffic now, WWL. 624 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. In case you're just waking up, no Mardi Gras in Metairie tomorrow due to high winds. Hasn't been officially announced yet, but numerous sources are citing that, including the crew of Argus. They say they were informed by Jefferson Parish. Details coming up in the news in about 5 minutes. Ted Rossman, our guest, Bankrate senior industry analyst, talking about your pocketbook after the first 40 days of President Trump's administration. Ted, somebody texted in and said if bank credit card interest rates weren't so damn high to start with, perhaps the bank would have a better payback rate. And that seems like you kind of blaming the wrong thing. You shouldn't be using a credit card to finance long-term debt, and that's never what it was about, right? So you can't really blame the credit card companies if you get in over your head, can you?
Yeah, well, that's where I come back to that unintended consequence of what if credit dries up, you know, if it becomes less profitable for banks, because I don't want people paying high credit card rates either. The best way to use a credit card, of course, is to pay in full, but I realize that's easier said than done. Now, half of cardholders do it from month to month, but the real point is that, you know, if you need to pay a medical bill, a car repair, refrigerator, whatever it is, if credit is not as much of an option, and then what? You know, then do you turn to payday loans or borrowing from family and friends? Or that's where I just worry about something that upends the market of credit card lending as we know it. Because I know these rates are high, and I'm not necessarily defending that, but I do believe that access to credit is important.
But the rates are high. Let me just jump in here. The rates are high. You can correct me if I say anything wrong, because it's unsecured debt, because people run up credit cards. Then we run commercials for the company that get them out of credit card debt that settles for pennies on a dollar. Well, somebody got to make up that difference, and that's the banks make up that difference in the money they lent with the higher interest rates, which means people get credit with the higher interest rates that otherwise would not get it. So you better watch what you ask for, because if you want lower interest rates, it's going to be harder to get a credit card. Is that accurate?
That's right, yeah. And that's where I would say, rather than a government cap on credit card rates, what I would rather see is, well, of course, if you can pay it off. But, you know, aside from that, there are other options. There are 0% balance transfer credit cards, promotional offers that last up to 21 months and can be interest-free for almost 2 years, or nonprofit credit counseling that can bring your rate down to 7 or 8% over 4 or 5 years. I would say that taking those steps is better than a hard cap, which could change a lot of things.
And look, I've been through it both sides. I've been through it with a tough divorce where I had no choice but to run up the credit cards and then dig myself out of it. I've also lived way above my head and ran up the credit cards. So when we talk about government spending, maybe it comes to a little bit of personal discipline as well, although I do feel for the people that need to live with the credit cards, because I've been there, done that. Let's talk about tariffs, Ted.
Yeah, so this is a really big one. Tariffs are scheduled to take place this week on Canada and Mexico. They've been delayed about a month. The China tariffs went into effect already last month. There's talk now of European Union tariffs. Economists believe that this is going to lead to higher prices, just because, you know, if costs get kicked up somewhere in the supply chain, the consumer is going to end up bearing much of that. Now, the administration says it's a useful negotiating tactic. They point out that there were tariffs during the first term and inflation was actually pretty low. A couple things that are different this time around, though. The tariffs that are scheduled to take place are deeper and wider. You know, there's more of them. The rates are higher. They affect more things. And inflation is starting from a higher base. And I know that's something that they inherited from the previous administration. But inflation's not yet down to the previous or to the Fed's target. It's not down to 2% yet. There's been a lot of cumulative price gains the past few years. People are very sensitive to this. Now, during the first term, we were still in that sort of glory days of inflation hadn't really been a big deal since the 80s, but it's been a big deal the past few years. And I just know consumers are wary of anything that could lead to higher prices. And that's one of the big reasons why consumer sentiment has remained depressed.
They think, for people that think the country is going to pay the tariff, explain that, if you will, please.
It's something that gets placed on the merchant, like on the supplier during the buying process. And chances are very high that that's eventually going to get passed on to the consumer.
Ideally, in an ideal market, and this is philosophically speaking, well, then they would figure, you know what, if the tariff is so high, let's just build it here. The problem is it's going to cost a hell of a lot more to build it here than it is there. And I'm just calling widgets, whatever you want to pick something, whatever it is, because of the price of labor, because of subsidized labor in other countries, et cetera. So either way, whether it's tariffed or whether it's built here, it's going to be more. And you have a choice in some cases to buy here if you want to pay more, but people don't choose that, do they?
That's right. I mean, there's part of this that's Buy American. I feel like that was more a talking point the first time around, though. I feel like this time it's more about the border and, you know, sort of other things, you know, relating to more of a geopolitical sort of negotiation about, like, we're going to do this if you don't do that. So it doesn't seem like it's as much of a manufacturing talking point this time around as it is immigration and fentanyl and other things crossing the border.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate it. Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. We'll talk to Arthur Hardy when we come back, 6:30 time for WWL First News.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.